Life is an endless series of battles, not just on literal battlefields, but in boardrooms, relationships, and the quiet struggles within ourselves. What separates those who merely survive from those who truly thrive is their mastery of strategic thinking. Drawing from 3,000 years of warfare history, we discover that the principles that guided Alexander the Great, Napoleon Bonaparte, and Margaret Thatcher apply with surprising precision to our everyday challenges. The most successful people throughout history understood that conflict isn't something to be avoided. It's essential for growth, self-definition, and ultimately, victory. But how do we transform these ancient lessons into practical wisdom for modern life? Your greatest opponent often isn't external, but internal. When Xenophon found himself stranded in hostile Persian territory with 10,000 Greek mercenaries, he recognized their true enemy wasn't just the Persians, but their own fear and despair. By declaring war on this internal enemy, he transformed a demoralized band into a disciplined fighting force that marched 1,500 miles to safety. Similarly, Margaret Thatcher's political genius lay in embracing polarization rather than seeking universal approval. After winning the 1979 election, she doubled down on her divisive approach, purging moderates from her cabinet and defining herself against clear enemies. She understood that attempting to please everyone would result in pleasing no one. Without enemies, we lose definition. In today's world, where opponents rarely attack directly, your first strategic task is widening your concept of enemy to include those working against you subtly, passive-aggressive colleagues, institutional barriers, and your own self-sabotaging tendencies. When you name your enemies, whether they're procrastination, self-doubt, or actual adversaries, you gain power over them. Even being attacked means you're important enough to be targeted. Your enemies become unwitting mentors, showing you where to strengthen your defenses and how to sharpen your skills. Have you ever noticed how companies that once dominated their industries suddenly become irrelevant? They're fighting the last war. The Prussian army's devastating defeat at Jena in 1806 illustrates this danger perfectly. Despite having a decade to study Napoleon's revolutionary tactics, they stubbornly clung to Frederick the Great's outdated methods, leading to catastrophic defeat. By contrast, legendary swordsman Miyamoto Musashi demonstrated remarkable tactical flexibility. Against the sickle and chain master Baikin, he broke convention by using two swords simultaneously. Against renowned Sasaki Ganryu, he employed psychological warfare, deliberately arriving late and wielding a crude wooden oar instead of a sword. Each time, he adapted uniquely to his opponent rather than relying on fixed techniques. Think of your mind as a river that functions best when flowing freely. Obsessional thoughts, past experiences, and fixed notions are like boulders damming this river of consciousness. You must constantly re-examine your most cherished beliefs, deliberately erase memories of past victories, cultivate childlike curiosity about new approaches, and occasionally reverse course completely to break stale patterns of thinking. Remember, your past successes can become your greatest obstacle when you automatically assume what worked before will work again today. When chaos erupts, most people lose their composure. Their minds fill with doubt, fear, and frustration, leading to poor decisions. Admiral Lord Nelson demonstrated the power of presence of mind during the Battle of Copenhagen when, facing fierce bombardment, he famously raised his telescope to his blind eye upon seeing the retreat signal and declared, "I really do not see the signal." This calculated disobedience allowed him to continue the attack until victory. Alfred Hitchcock embodied another approach through meticulous preparation. On set, he appeared almost bored while chaos swirled around him. This unnerving calm wasn't a gimmick, but the result of having visualized every aspect of his films in advance. As James Stewart told others, "We're in the hands of an expert here. You can lean on him." To develop your own presence of mind, expose yourself to conflict rather than avoiding it. Become self-reliant instead of depending on unreliable others. learn to suffer fools gladly, never allowing their limitations to affect your mental balance. When panic strikes, focus on simple tasks to regain equilibrium, like the tea master who approached a samurai duel with the same calm concentration he brought to his tea ceremony. Finally, develop fingertip feel, the intuitive awareness that comes from deep knowledge and personal connection with all aspects of your situation. Why do we procrastinate on important goals? Because nothing feels truly urgent. Hernan Cortes demonstrated this principle in 1519 when he scuttled his ships upon landing in Mexico with 500 men. With retreat impossible, his men fought with unprecedented intensity, conquering the Aztec Empire within 2 years. Fyodor Dostoevsky's near-death experience at a firing squad in 1849 similarly transformed him. After receiving a last-minute pardon and enduring 4 years in prison, he emerged with renewed purpose, creating masterpieces like Crime and Punishment. When we feel cornered with no options, we respond with heightened focus and energy. The key is creating these conditions intentionally. Lyndon Johnson staked everything on an impossible congressional race in 1937. Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon with just 5,000 men. Joan Crawford left MGM Studios, refusing lesser roles until winning her Oscar for Mildred Pierce. Like Napoleon, who never allowed himself to rest, the strategy is to maintain constant forward momentum by eliminating easy alternatives. Leading groups requires balancing authority with influence. The 1915 Gallipoli campaign demonstrates how broken command chains lead to disaster. Allied forces with a 10-to-1 advantage failed when General Hamilton's vague orders became distorted, resulting in defeat. George C. Marshall's transformation of the 1939 War Department shows effective indirect leadership. He installed personally trained younger officers, reduced direct reports from 60 to 6, and mandated clear communication. This created an efficient system that embodied his vision without requiring constant oversight. Modern leadership demands subtlety as authority faces growing skepticism. While some leaders respond with excessive democracy, this violates the crucial principle of unified command. History's major military defeats, like Cannae, often resulted from divided leadership. The lesson is clear. Shared command inevitably leads to failure. The key to motivation lies in shifting focus from individual to group success. When people unite around a cause or against a common enemy, their collective purpose naturally overshadows self-interest. Napoleon captured this principle in claiming, "The moral is to the physical as 3-to-1." Vince Lombardi revitalized the Green Bay Packers through psychological insight. He eliminated favoritism by treating all players equally harsh, while delivering personalized criticisms that targeted individual weaknesses. By fostering an atmosphere of intense focus, he transformed a 1-10-1 team into a 7-5 contender and eventual champion. Napoleon Bonaparte exemplified masterful psychological leadership. He connected personally with soldiers, knowing their names and stories, while maintaining a perfect balance of fear and inspiration. His punishments were psychologically devastating, while his rewards were generous and merit-based. This created fierce loyalty that persisted even through defeat.